Welcome to the Strongsville United Methodist Church podcast for Sunday, May 22nd. This was graduation Sunday, and Matt Wisenhunt, our youth director, gave the message entitled, Walk the Path. Matt told us how we are all in need of discipleship, the process of being confronted by and guided through the thing that separates us from more clearly reflecting the image of God. No one is exempt from the need of discipleship.
Good morning again. In case you don't know, my name is Matt, and I'm the youth director here at the church, have been for 6 years. And this is always a special Sunday because I have the privilege to prepare and present a message on graduation Sunday. So we honor our graduating seniors, and we had this little ceremony, the service prior to this one. But I'd like to kind of theme the message and the scripture and everything around the seniors in one way or another. And so this morning goes back a couple months, because that's kind of when I started to get the gears going about what today could look like and how we could properly honor the seniors. So I always kind of keep my mind tuned into what could happen. And the first thing that came across my thought process for today was this opening example I'm going to share with you, which I'll explain because it's going to need it. I'm a Stephen Colbert fan. He was recently moved to Letterman's old spot, Late Night. So he's got a late night talk show where he interviews people and he does funny things and he makes funny comments and I laugh a lot. And he does these great interviews sometimes with some very influential people. One in particular happened a few months back when Colbert interviewed Killer Mike. Killer Mike is a civic leader. He's a hip-hop artist, and he's on the front lines of like social change. He's a social activist. Killer Mike is, I mean, you don't have to listen to his stuff, and you probably shouldn't, but what I do want you to listen to is this quote he had in this interview with Stephen Colbert. And this is what kind of started this whole graduation Sunday thing. So Killer Mike and Colbert were talking about how just well-educated, successful people could influence younger children who are at a disadvantage. And he says this. He says, you need to help that child matriculate into college. Teach them the path you were taught to help them become a successful human being. What you're going to get out of that experience is another human being that is taking full advantage of an educational system that can help them engage into their community. So what Killer Mike is talking about is mentoring. He's talking about people who have had success taking younger people who don't have it yet or who are at a disadvantage under their wing and kind of walking them through and teaching them how to be successful, how to get an education, the steps it takes to get by, to kind of find yourself, right? Killer Mike is talking about mentoring. And this is nothing new. Killer Mike is just talking about something that has been going on for as far back as we can trace and in all cultures and throughout history. This is how cultures and society last. The older, more experienced, more educated people teach the younger people who need to learn and need to find knowledge. And that's how civilization works. And the church is no different. We're not exempt from this. We do this as well in our history. Except, one, we don't call it mentoring, and two, it looks a little bit different, and for good reason. What we call it is discipleship. Hang on. Don't check out because you heard a church word. I'll explain in a minute. Just relax. Discipleship is not just teaching or instructing. It's not giving new skills. It's not showing how something works. Discipleship is different from mentoring in that discipleship is the process of helping somebody identify their spiritual barriers or the things that come between them and understanding who God is, and helping them and guiding them through those spiritual barriers. See, that's how it's different from mentoring. It's not just learning, it's getting into the soul, it's getting into the heart. And it's helping the heart change and transform. Not just learning something new, but becoming something new. I learn how to play baseball. I learn how to play an instrument. But my life is transformed through the process of discipleship. Ben read a passage out of 1 Samuel in the Old Testament just a few moments ago. And it was a small excerpt of a bigger story. There was a woman who could not have a child, and when she pleaded with God and finally had a young boy named Samuel, she dedicated Samuel to the Lord's work for his life. And so what happened was that Samuel lived and grew up with a priest named Eli. So Samuel was a young boy learning how to become more understanding of who God is and how Samuel's life can be transformed into being called for God's work. So as a young kid, Samuel starts hearing God's voice over and over. So he goes to Eli, and Eli's like, no, like you're just hearing things, go back. And Samuel's like, no, I'm back again. I'm hearing this voice. And Eli the priest thinks, you know what? I think you're onto something. So he teaches Samuel in our scripture how to listen and how to respond to God's voice. It was a small moment of discipleship in the Old Testament. And after that, Samuel learned how to listen and properly respond to hearing God's voice. The priest, Eli, walked him through that. That's discipleship. Whereas at one moment, Samuel couldn't. He didn't have the skill set. He didn't know how. He wasn't ready to hear God's voice and respond. Eli taught him how to do that. Eli walked him how to do that. Eli discipled him through that process as discipleship. You can't talk about discipleship unless we talk about Jesus Christ, right? And right in the beginning of his ministry, Jesus, he's tempted. He comes out of the temptation. He preaches his first sermon at the temple, and he goes right on his way in Matthew 4, right at the beginning, and he calls his first disciples. And he sees a couple of brothers in a fishing boat, and they're fishing. And Jesus calls out to them, come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and they followed him. So what happens, or what had happened in those days when a rabbi or a teacher wanted disciples, usually a person who wanted to learn from the rabbi would request from that rabbi, hey, can I be your disciple? Can I learn from you? And a rabbi is defined like this. Rabbis were teachers who had been given the authoritative role to interpret God's word for the living of a righteous life. Rabbis would define what behavior would and wouldn't please God. That's what a rabbi did. And if you wanted to learn from a rabbi about all that stuff, you would request the rabbi, and the rabbi would say yes or no. But in this case, Jesus is calling his disciples, not the other way around. And he's not calling them to that, what I just read. He's not calling them to take an authoritative role in interpreting God's word or defining what behaviors wouldn't please or would please God. He's calling them to something else. He's calling them to fish for men, be fishers of men, which is weird because they are fishers already. They're out on the boat. So it's almost like he's asking them to change their job title. And in changing their job title, he's asking them to change their identities. Where once you were fishing for fish and you were making a living that way, you're going to be transformed in this process to where you're going to fish for men. You're going to save and transform lives after you've walked this path of discipleship yourselves. That's a big calling. Essentially, what he's saying is you can learn the rabbi way and you can learn how to translate scripture and interpret the scripture for God's people. And you can learn about how to tell people what's right and wrong in God's eyes, but I am calling you to be a leader, to learn about transforming your very nature, your very soul, to better reflect the image of your Creator. It's a big calling. What he's essentially saying is, you can read all the books you want about how to be a better parent, but those won't help you develop patience. You can have a degree in management, but that won't help you develop trust between you and your employees. The one thing that will transform you to be the kind of person that you're trying to be is the process of being discipled, having someone reveal in you your spiritual barriers and help you work through them. That's discipleship. What Jesus is saying when he calls them to fish for people is you're not just here to learn or acquire new skills. You're here because you're not going to be the same person by the end of this that you are now. And if that's not the same thing that's happening within our youth ministry or within our church, you know, then we're not doing it right. We're doing this so that people who are called now won't be the same people who they're going to be eventually. So I kind of extracted two different truths from this scripture and kind of from all this research. So take it for what it's worth. The first truth is this. You and me and we are in need of being discipled. We are in need of discipleship. We are being called to have our spiritual barriers identified and worked through, and no one's exempt from this. So, if you're trying to be a better boss or a better parent or a better teacher or a better coach, you could take all the classes and read all the books that you want, but you're never going to be who you're created to be as a boss, parent, teacher, coach until you negotiate through some spiritual barriers. And the first step to discipleship is recognizing the need for discipleship. And when we're talking about spiritual barriers, we're talking about having a faith that is kind of based on works and what you can do to please God. Spiritual barrier. Seeing God as a gray-bearded man who sits in the clouds and throws lightning bolts at people to smite them when they do something wrong. Spiritual barrier. If you're incapable of accepting grace, the gift of grace, that's a spiritual barrier. If you're unable to forgive people, if you can't come to terms with how forgiveness works, either accepting forgiveness or forgiving others, spiritual barrier. If you've gone through something traumatic or tragic and you're having trouble processing it, that's a spiritual barrier. These are the things, and many more, that need to be worked through in our lives as disciples so that we can better reflect the image of God. And it's always inevitable, but there's always somebody or some peoples that often say, listen, I appreciate what you're saying, but discipleship is not for me. What I have going now for me is working just fine. It has been working fine for a long time. I appreciate your kind words, but I don't need it. Discipleship and me don't need each other. I'm fine and I'm doing well. I have this to say. Thank you for proving my point. Congratulations, you played yourself. Because you have just reiterated the first idea of discipleship. That is the first indicator. To acknowledge that you don't need discipleship is the acknowledgement that you need discipleship. You've walked into the trap. So well done. That's my first point. Sorry. Second point is this. Not only do you need discipled, but you too can disciple other people. You can be the kind of person that helps other people through spiritual barriers of some sort so that they can get to better know who they are and who God is. Contingent is that you have to have first acknowledged the first truth that you also are in need of discipleship. That's how it works. Our church has all sorts of ministries, one, that you can be a part of that will help disciple you. Things like Walk to Emmaus, Healing Care, Alpha, Disciple Bible Study. Those things can help you become a disciple and learn about and break through your spiritual barriers. Our church also has many opportunities to help you disciple other people. Things like Sunday school, the youth ministry, Kids Hope, Recharge, youth ministry, VBS, being a Stephen minister, the youth ministry. Those are eight different things, just kind of off the top, to kind of summarize how you can be a part of somebody's life in a significant way, helping them grow and break through spiritual barriers that separate them from who they're called to be. And that's what our church body does. Okay, so here's the unfortunate part for you guys. I didn't do this with the first two services, but I'm going to do it now. I would love it if you could just take a couple of minutes to have a quick discussion with the people around you. If you're uncomfortable with it, don't do it. Like, you're not getting graded on it, so you pass, whatever. But I would just challenge you for a couple seconds to just talk about these two questions with some people around you as frankly and honestly and as comfortably as possible. The first one is that can you tell somebody around you who in your past or currently is discipling you? Who is a significant player in your spiritual growth and discipleship process? Who walked you through spiritual barriers? Who are those significant people? And if you're comfortable enough, mention what those spiritual barriers were. If you could just take a couple minutes to do that, I probably should have told the sound guys to get some music ready so it might get kind of quiet in here, but if you could do that, your comfort level with the people around you, go right ahead, take 2 minutes. I get to take a break. All right, if you guys could start to wrap it up. It's like close to noon, and you guys are like, you're going to make me talk and go long. So thank you for humoring me and kind of talking with each other. The last thing, it's like the number one rule is like, don't force people to talk to each other. And like, we did it. So yeah, we stuck it to the man or whatever. I don't know. So let's wrap this thing up. Last service, there was a half white sheet in the bulletin, and it kind of lists our graduating seniors' names. And that's all it listed was their names. And traditionally, it often listed what college they were going to attend or what they were doing with their post-high school plans. But this time, it was just their names. We kind of did that intentionally and last second as well. And the reason was this. Is because we wanted today to be a day we celebrated our graduating seniors because of who they are as members of this church family. We wanted to celebrate their discipleship process coming up from like the preschool and the VBSs and the Sunday schools and the youth mission trips and the retreats and the opportunities that they got to lead devotions. That is their discipleship process, and that's what we wanted to celebrate. And that's what we're thankful for. And the only thing we need to know about to celebrate that is their name. Just their name. And if you know or recognize any of the names from here, I would just encourage you to like talk to them about their major plans or their college plans or things like that at a separate time. But right now, we're celebrating the discipleship process. It's a discipleship process that they are a part of, and we're proud that they're a part of, and that a number of you guys have played a part in their lives contributing to. And it's also a process that we're a part of as well. I'm going to end on this. I would just encourage you to not be too proud to become a disciple. There is no more, you're putting yourself at a disadvantage if you're too proud to say that discipleship is something that you need. No one is exempt from needing it. No one. Even the pastors. Especially. Right? Especially pastors, he said. No one's exempt. So I would encourage you, if today is the first day, to just let it be a spark. Let it be the beginning of just trying to figure out what discipleship means for you, what it'll look like in your life to confront some uncomfortable and difficult spiritual barriers between you and God. Because the other side of those barriers is the real you, the you who you were created to be, the you who God designed when you were first thought in his mind. The you who is going to be a better boss, a better parent, a better friend, a better aunt or an uncle, a better manager, a better coach, a better teacher, that is on the opposite end and on the other side of the spiritual barriers of discipleship. So that is the calling for you. And the calling is also for you to be one who leads others through the discipleship process. So it's for all of us. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the divine call to both be a disciple and to disciple others. I don't think any one of us is at the same situation in the age and life circumstance right now, but we're all in need of working through something that is separating us from you. So I guess give us that uncomfortable feeling that we need to take the steps forward to do it. We're thankful for this church family and the Sunday morning that we get to celebrate together who you are and who you've called us to be. In your name we pray, amen.